Hello, I'm Ken McLeod, Principal Teacher at Unfettered Mind. Our website is an ongoing effort to explain Buddhist practice in a way that is clear and accessible to the Western mind without dumbing it down. If you find these teachings useful, please make a donation at unfetteredmind.org/donate so we can continue to maintain and expand the site. Thanks.
Unfettered Mind on Relationships.
Are we all set? I can say Happy Valentine's Day again, okay. We're recording this. They go up on the internet, podcasts. I want you to know that, so that if you start talking about your girlfriend or boyfriend, they're going to hear every word you say. People do that sometimes. First names only, that's all that's necessary. And if you wanted to ask a question, talk about something that you don't want recorded, just please indicate that. Elena, who's doing very kindly doing the recording, will just hit pause. And, you know, modern technology is wonderful. So today, we're going to talk about relationships. How many of you have questions about relationships? Nobody? There are a few. What I'd like to do is to give some very, very general principles for 5 or 10 minutes and then take up your questions and have a dialogue about this. And in posting this on my website, I said, you know, relationships, what makes them work? So I'm going to talk very generally about relationships as a whole, the different kinds of relationships, and then focus in on one, the kind of relationship that is very important to all of this, and that's the emotional connection, intimate, romantic, committed relationships, whatever we want to call them. One of the most useful frameworks that I've come across around relationships, it comes from a friend of mine, John Parmenter, who lives in Washington State right now. And he derived it, or found it in some Chinese sources. And it views relationships as having three possible bases. One is mutual benefit. That is, a mutual benefit relationship is a relationship which consists of a transaction or a series of transactions. And the result of those transactions is that both people benefit, or both parties benefit from it. Obviously, the buyer-seller thing. But here we are in Hollywood, and one of the standard relationships is two actors that will say, and each tells the other how wonderful they are all the time. It's a mutual benefit relationship. I tell you how wonderful you are, you tell me how wonderful we are, we both feel good, it's a benefit. And outside of that, there isn't any other relationship. Does anybody know of that kind of relationship? Okay. So when we say mutual benefit, it isn't just about money. It can be a series of emotional transactions. It can be any kind of transaction. But the aspect of this relationship is it's the relationship consists of just the transactions. And it's not a very deep relationship. It's important. It shows up in a lot of areas of our lives. Whenever we buy food, it's a transactional relationship with the store, dry cleaning, you know, all these kinds of things. The second kind of relationship is a shared aim relationship. That's where you engage in an activity with other people to do something that you can't do by yourself or that you choose not to do by yourself. Maybe you could do it, but you do it with another person or with some other people. And that's a little stronger relationship. It's quite a bit stronger, really, than just transaction. You're creating something together. And one of the very satisfying experiences in the human condition is that of actually creating something with another person. How many of you have had that kind of experience? Okay, we've got a few more there. And it can be a project at work, it can be some non-profit, political action, or things like that, or just being able to do something, build a house together. It's a very good example. And then the third kind of relationship is the emotional connection. Now, that applies to to friendship, marriage, committed relations. Now, all three may be present in a relationship. In a typical committed relationship, particularly marriage in our society, there is mutual benefit because there are certain tax and benefits and income benefits and so forth that come from that. There's actually economic benefits that come to both parties when they marry. And there's definitely a shared aim relationship. You're creating a life together and you may be creating a family together. And hopefully there's an emotional connection. We may find the same thing at work relationships. We work with people and we form work on projects together with them, and out of that a friendships form. But what's really important is to be very clear about what the basis of the relationship is. In the work environment, even though we may form friendships, it's really mutual benefit. I'm being paid for my labor. Maybe my labor is my brain power, maybe my physical labor, but I'm being paid for that. And that's the actual basis of the relationship. And what happens frequently in the workplace is that people form friendships and then somebody gets promoted or there's a downsizing in the company and people feel betrayed emotionally because they thought, don't they value me? Well, yes, they do, but not enough, because now they're laying you off or promoting somebody that was a friend, and that gets all confused, because that's what's of benefit to the business, to the work. And that is the basis of the relationship. And I do a certain amount of business consulting, and I have to remind people about this all the time. You know, this is the basis of the relationship. Whereas when we go to the other end of the spectrum, when you talk about marriage or a committed relationship, then you expect your partner to sacrifice, and you yourself are willing to sacrifice certain economic or things that are to your advantage for the relationship. That's part of it. So they're being clear about the basis of the relationship is very important in order to have a healthy relationship. And it's better if both parties agree on the basis of the relationship. My favorite example here is the artist and the gallery owner. How many artists do we have here? Just a few. Okay. So you have the artist who's producing sculpture or painting or whatever. And if you're a writer, then it can be producing books and poetry. And then it's the publisher. But let's take the artist and the gallery owner. From the artist's point of view, this is a shared aim relationship. This is about getting the artist's work out into the world. The gallery owner, primarily, it's a mutual benefit relationship. I sell your paintings, I get money, you get money, we're all happy. And the conflict in that relationship is legendary. You know, whole films and novels are written about it, because they differ as to what is the basis of the relationship. And you may find yourself, I'll get to this when we talk more deeply about the emotional connection relationship, but you may find yourself in what feels like an emotional relationship with someone, and you are committed to it, but for them it's a series of transactions. That kind of thing can happen. Now, what are the conditions that make a relationship last? Well, there are a couple, three or four. The first is you have to be faithful to the basis of the relationship. Mutual benefit relationship, if you cheat. You know, if I'm buying something from you and I give you counterfeit money, that's not good for the relationship. If I'm not willing to take a risk, it's impossible to have the relationship because I don't know what you're selling me, or I don't know whether I can actually make benefit of it. I'm taking a little bit of a risk in giving you something and taking something from you, giving something that's of value to me, giving it to you, and taking something from you. Is it actually valuable? Well, there's always a risk in there, and you can't avoid that. So if you're completely risk-averse, you're not going to have much in terms of relationship. Shared aim thing, the big thing is control. If you absolutely have to control the relationship, it's not a shared aim relationship. The other person's working for you or doing what you say. You aren't sharing anything. So the desire for control undermines that one. Having a covert agenda undermines that. And we all know that because we've experienced betrayal in one form or another. And an emotional connection, it's very interesting. What undermines that relationship is the desire for continuous happiness. Now, this came very powerfully to me when I was giving a talk on this at a business school down in Orange County. And I threw out the line that in an emotional connection relationship, you're not in the relationship because you want to be happy with that person. You're in that relationship because you want to be with that person. Period. There's a girlfriend I had several years ago, and we had a lot of stuff going back and forth, and she just said, "Are you going to be happy with me, Ken?" I said, "I'm not with you because I want to be happy. I'm with you because I want to be with you." It stopped her cold. Feels good, I think. Anyway, I got an email from this guy, one of the guys in the class, the next day. He said, "That one line in that talk you gave last night changed my marriage." What had happened is that he'd gone home to his wife and said, "I've been killing myself trying to make you happy for the last 10 years. I quit. I just want to be with you. And I hope you want to be with me." That's what he said. And just opened up a whole conversation which clarified, and all kinds of stuff came out in their relationship. And it moved into a totally different thing. It was a very nice email to get. And I was going back the following week and had to do a follow-up talk. I had a chance to talk with him about it personally, and it really made a difference. So if you always want to be happy in a committed relationship, you're going to kill the relationship. It's one of the reasons why anytime somebody tells me they're in a spiritual relationship with their partner, I know they're in trouble. There's something else going on there. It's actually a way of avoiding it. And the other thing that's really important in any of these kinds of relationships for them to last is they have to be balanced. Now, balance, we often think of something just like, that's imbalance. But if you stand up, and I won't ask you to do this, but you can try it on your own anytime you want, and stand on one leg, you'll find that you can balance quite easily. But you won't be still. You'll be constantly moving and adjusting. So when I say a relationship is imbalanced, it's a dynamic balance. It goes back and forth. It's like a teeter-totter. And so one's always moving to balance. And you overshoot it, comes back, goes back and forth. This is what makes the relationship alive and dynamic. It's not static. It's static when it's like this. And when it's like this, one person is getting more out of the relationship than the other. Now, the person who's getting less out of the relationship, what do they feel? Anybody? Resentment. The person who's getting more out of the relationship, what do they feel? Guilty? Sometimes.
Bored? Boredom.
Sometimes boredom, too. But actually, they feel disdain. Because part of them knows they're getting more than they're putting in. So they don't have respect for the other person. And when you have resentment here and a lack of respect here, things are not going to last. So, and I've had this in certain, there's a very, very good friend I have back in Toronto. And we were engaged in a project together and it blew up horribly. And it was really excruciatingly painful for me. And she screwed it up. But we've had a friendship for many, many years. And it took me 10 days, I was so upset, before I could speak to her. And then I called her up, and we had a conversation. But because I valued the relationship, I had to have that conversation. It was very difficult, it was very painful. We got through it. Our relationship or friendship continues. And that's very good. So if you're feeling resentful about something and you value the relationship, you have to speak up. Because if you don't, then the dynamics in the relationship are going to lead to its dissolution. Actually, quite quickly. Okay, so those are the very general frameworks that I wanted to put out there. And there's a lot more I could say. Oh, there's one more. That's right, one more. Again, this friend of mine is a very, very perceptive person. And this is more in the context of emotional connection relationships. He makes a distinction between correspondence and connection. Now, how many of you have walked into a room or been introduced to somebody and it's just like, this is the one? Or there's been some very powerful connection very quickly. Okay, how long does it last?
Long time.
Sometimes. And other times?
Forget all about it.
Right. How many of you have fallen completely in love with someone the first time you saw them or something like that? Yeah, we call it having a crush or what have you. Now, when we meet someone, there can be a correspondence in our patterns or whatever. And it's really like two tuning forks of the same frequency. You hit one and the other one starts to vibrate. And you think you're really in tune. Well, you are actually in tune. But you think there's a tremendous connection because you can both hum the same tune. But actually, it's just a lot of resonance going on. And this happens very quickly. There's a huge amount of belief invested in this. And because of that, and a lot of relationships start that way, But often it's just two patterns vibrating, and they vibrate the good stuff, and as you eventually learn, they vibrate the bad stuff. And sometimes there's that very, very strong resonance, but nothing comes of it. The second part is where connection goes. Through interaction, actual connections start to grow. And when that happens, then you have the basis of a stable, committed relationship. But a lot of people, and in the beginning it's quite difficult, find it very difficult to distinguish between what is actual connection and this magical correspondence that seems to take place. So that's one other framework that I wanted to throw out. Now, what are your questions?
Thank you.
Mind retains all rights to these podcasts. If you wish to use part or a whole podcast, please send an email to podcasts@unfetteredmind.org.